Went to a local sports pub right around the corner, Lucky Lou's. There's a few of them. And I was by myself, and I walk in, and I always judge sports restaurants if they're any good, because the food is what the food is. Most sports restaurants, food, they try to make it really good. They really put some effort into it. And Lucky Lou's does a nice job. They're not even a partner here, but I'm just saying. But when I walk into a sports restaurant, and they have, like, the Golf Channel on one corner, and they have on Pac-12 Network, which is a shock to begin with, but they have on stuff, and they're not paying attention to what's going on. Like, I don't know how many times I walk into sports restaurants and I have to ask, can you please turn on the Suns game? And I get it. Most times you want the game turned off because they're so bad. But here with the Coyotes in the playoff race, if I walk in to want to watch the Coyotes and they're not on, and I know the game is on, it's kind of what I do, then I walk out. It's just not worth it. So I was very pleased last night. I walked into Lucky Lou's. It was just after tip. I had a busy day on the business front. And every TV was on to the ASU game. It was not a, that's not a place that you go to and all the diehards are there. I live out in the suburbs. And so this is not a bunch of college students. It's a bunch of people just having a beer and hanging out. And I had a rack of ribs and watched the first half. Got home and sat in my man cave in the second half and took it all in. And what I came away with last night is just how awful the game was. More on that in a minute. Steve Smith today, NFL Network analyst Steve Smith. Really good story. I caught up with him in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 Honors. And he's going to the Utah Hall of Fame. But aside from that, he's got some very strong opinions on what may happen, could happen, should happen when it comes to Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. Of course, Steve Smith was a terrific player back in the NFL days on the field with Carolina. So Steve Smith, and then we'll have Goody with us today. Actually, we'll have Bill a little early. We'll have Bill at 10:20. Bill is in this kick of, first, it's Wofford. He's all over them. Secondly, he was on the True TV broadcast last night about Bobby Hurley and Bobby Hurley, the way that he acts during games and so on and so forth. So we'll talk some tournament stuff with Bill. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That may be with life insurance, maybe with annuities. Yesterday morning, I'm sitting with a guy at a coffee shop. This guy's a COO of a company, and he knows that I've been doing work with Sagicor, that I got my license. And he said, I'd like for you to do a deep dive on our situation, just where we are. I think we're good, but there may be some gaps. When was the last time you had somebody just take a look at your situation? Are there some gaps? Maybe you're just starting out. Maybe you're in the space of, okay, life insurance, annuities, I'm really not familiar with it. I'll tell you, if you go over to the website, to sagicornow.com, there's plenty of information there for you. Very proud to have them as part of Sports 360 AZ, and I'm very proud that I got my license. So it's cool helping people out. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Goody comes up in about 8 minutes. So the game last night, ASU, you could look at it one of two ways. There's the way of, wow, they have advanced. First time since 2009. You have to go all the way back to James Harden, the last time Arizona State Sun Devil basketball made it through a win in March Madness. Doesn't matter, it's the first four, it just matters that they advance. What a great moment, crowning achievement for Bobby Hurley as he continues to knock down walls on the Titanic of college basketball that has been Arizona State basketball. It's all well and good when you can point out James Harden. It's all well and good when you can point out Eddie House and in the rafters, but the program's really done nothing, to be honest. And Bobby's come in and he's turned that around. Some well-intentioned people, some nice guys as coaches, but the results are you in the tournament or not? And the answer has been no. It's been 10 years. So you can celebrate and say, the wait is finally over. They've accomplished a win in March Madness. How great is this? It's been 10 years. They took care of St. John's last night. That's one way you could look at it. Or you could look at it as my way of, it's really cool that they won a game. It's really cool that they've advanced. They were awful last night again. This is a team that I swear their basketball IQ at times, and I don't believe it's a reflection of Bobby, and I don't believe that it's playing down to the level of the competition, as Candace Parker suggested last night, which is ridiculous. when you're up 8 and there's 4 minutes to go in the game and you have possession of the ball and you decide with 15 to go on the shot clock to jack up a 17-foot jumper from a player who's not a very good shooter, and it chips the paint off the rim or chips the glass because it's just not a good shot because they don't have a touch. It's just not smart. Remy Martin last night made several, in my opinion, poor decisions. Those of you that are just about, oh, you're hating and the Devils and go Devils, go ASU. No, you don't understand. When you play St. John's and they're the last team in and they look like the last team in, they weren't good. When you play as poorly as ASU did last night, and you turn the ball over 21 times, and you have poor decisions over and over and over, there's a couple stretches last night where I'm like, Naismith's got to be rolling over in his grave because this is not how basketball is supposed to be played. And so, yes, you can find the positive. I do that. But I'm also smart enough to know that if you play like this against Buffalo or whomever you run up against in the tournament, you're going to lose. And I don't know. I'd kind of like this run to continue. That game should have been over. Should have been over at about the 16, 17-minute mark of the second half. ASU could not handle the pressure that St. John's put on them. I'm not going to buy into, well, the Sun Devils fought hard, and St. John's made a push. There was no push. It's just ASU throwing the ball away. There was no push. Because Remy Martin making lazy inbound pass that gets picked off. Zylan Cheetah making ridiculous passes that were not smart, that were not well-intentioned. So if you're one of those, it's like, wow, you really hate and this. No, I'm not hating. I think it's great they won. But it was... it was such a hard game to watch. It wasn't thrilling. It was just two teams slogging along. St. John's had no business being one of the 68. That was a bad team last night. Arizona State, much better. I'm watching the first 10 minutes and thinking they're going to be up 20-25 at the half. In terms of Bobby Hurley's technical, I'm going to talk to Goody about this in a bit. Those of us that have seen Bobby Hurley, that's what he is in games. Was it a referee that's sending a message that we're not going to tolerate this in the tournament? Is it Bobby Hurley is being targeted? You know, sometimes when I hear that stuff, it's like loser's limps. We got to figure out a way to grease the skids because our coach is being treated unfairly and it's going to happen and the referees have it in for all that. No. When you get to this point, try not turning the ball over 21 times. I think it was a combination of frustration with how poorly his team was playing. And at the same time, how St. John's should have been gone, should have just disappeared. And Bobby was diplomatic. I mean, they show the post-game stuff in the locker room. And Bobby's like, yeah, you know, we got to focus and get ready for the next game. And guarantee you, as soon as the camera was turned off and there was no media in there, it's what the bleep. Just guarantee you that. That's Bobby expects more. I have no problem with that. We're not going to see. We're going to see a filtered down version. What we see of him during games, that's just who he is. So they play Buffalo tomorrow. It's the former team that he coached against. I actually think they could win the game. I actually think they're in a pretty good spot. They could be playing well beyond the first weekend of the tournament. I do believe that. I also think they could lose by 30 tomorrow night because they're just not a smart team. And anybody who argues with me on that, I don't know, just put the tape in from this year. Until you can stretch together clean game after game after game, this is how it's going to be. And I don't accept that. In terms of the Pac-12, so Oregon plays Wisconsin tomorrow. Washington plays Utah State tomorrow. To get all the haters off of the Pac-12, including myself, just win a couple games. You know, just if you're going to accept it as a conference, this is a larger conversation, that everything is great when it's not. Larry Scott, I swear, if he says, well, we got three teams in the tournament, and if Oregon and Washington lose tomorrow, yeah, you got three teams in, and two of them got blown out or lost in the first round. That's why it's important for the conference to have a long run. you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, the Suns play Detroit tonight. The Suns may sign Jimmer Fredette. Who cares? The Diamondbacks are in the middle of spring training. I think it's an important game for the Coyotes tonight. I'm going to be in that space of watching March Madness, but also the Coyotes. They have a span of the next 9 days. They have 5 games in 9 days. And they're right there in the playoff push. Right there. All right, Goody is next. We will visit with him on some movies and March Madness and other stuff. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, kind of, I was at a MC event this morning with Larry Fitzgerald over at Ability 360, and I wanted to get Bill on earlier, and actually wanted to tape Bill. Sometimes we tape stuff here on the show, but this event ran long. Fitz was very funny, so I appreciate you being flexible. I'm assuming that you are just laying on your couch today. When does Wofford play? I have not looked at the bracket. When do they play, Bill?
Not that I would know, but they play at 6:40 on CBS, 6:40 p.m. East, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, which is a little late, you know, but I don't think that'll be, I'm hoping that won't be a problem.
It's prime time. Prime time. East Coast.
It's getting towards the end of it. Yeah, it's kind of, back east, it's prime time is later. It gets to 11. But the, yeah, that's true. And it's, and I think Wofford is kind of the boutique team that a lot of people, Wofford and Buffalo are kind of the two that, I mean, Wofford got a kind of a bad draw that if they win tonight, they got to play Kentucky. But I've been talking to Michael, and he's confident. And as you no doubt know, he was named the Sporting News National Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in the running for all the other Coach of the Year things. So we'll see how that goes.
But for those that don't know in the audience, Bill has an affinity for Wofford. He's written about Wofford. He talks every year about Wofford. And he is close to the coach. I forget in what capacity that you two have.
We've known each other since seventh grade, and we played rec league basketball together. We played high school basketball together, and we've just been friends ever since. And he is, in addition to being a great coach, a really great guy. He every year that he was in town, even when he was at Wofford, if he happened to be, usually they were playing, but he would bring my grandmother a rose on Christmas Eve.
Wow,
that's sweet. He spent a lot of time at her apartment with me. Romping around and, you know, tearing up the way that our parents wouldn't let us do.
Is there a Wofford bar in Phoenix? Is there a place where
my living room? So, but a friend of mine read what I read about Wofford, and I wrote a thing about Wofford.
Yeah,
there are two things that that really, in addition to Michael, he was just a way in. But also, there's a great episode of Seinfeld that Keith Hernandez is in.
Yep,
and Jerry says, "Oh, look, there's Keith Hernandez." And he says, "You know, I hear he's really smart, too. He's like a Civil War buff." And George says, "You know, what does it take to be a buff? I'd like to be a buff." And so I've become a Wofford college basketball buff. Michael's the way in, but if you watch them, they're really fun. As he said in the story that I wrote, he said, "We score like we breathe." And they have a guy named Fletcher McGee, who, if he makes three-point shots tonight, will become the all-time NCAA leader in three-point shots made. And he can shoot from anywhere. And he seems to specialize in this bizarre, not even looking at the basket, just kind of jumps, twists, shoots from 35 feet and nails it. Michael says he practices it every day in practice. And my question was, yeah, now he does. But when he was a freshman, why did you let him?
Yeah.
You know?
It's we're talking with Goody. So you're going to watch Wofford tonight, but I'm very pleased. And I don't know how you feel about it, because we haven't talked. I keep wanting to get together with you about you're now writing, not just doing movies. And we've got a couple of movies I want to get to in a second. But you're back in doing some stuff that you used to do that you're brilliant at. And I say that in all sincerity. And that is analyzing a sports broadcast as it's going on and putting some context, having some fun with it. Last night you got into Bobby Hurley's situation is his little meltdown right before halftime, getting after a halftime sideline reporter, True TV, which has all sorts of garbage on it, it looks like, other than March Madness. So in general, what did you make out of ASU from a broadcasting experience? Because I don't know how much you've watched. I think you've watched some Bill Walton games. But
yeah, how much? And I've watched some. I mean, but yeah. I think that what, and I'm hearing, I'm getting some grief from that. If people are saying, you know, because what I wrote was basically, is Hurley now a marked man? I mean, is he, you know, now is his reputation going to precede him? And by which I mean, on the one hand, who cares? And on the other hand,
yes,
that may make him more susceptible to getting technicals, which, you know, at the wrong time, didn't matter last night because they killed him. Although they tried to give it away.
It was awful. That was an awful game. It was an awful game to watch. Just dreadful.
ASU had a nice little run there in the first half, but they looked good. But that's my point. Are they looking for him now? Seth Davis, you know, who's a CBS guy, but he was on the True TV broadcast last night. He clearly said he is a marked man, and people know about this, and he knows better. Now today, people are saying, "Look, well, that technical is undeserved." And, I mean, you know, now he's got to toe the line because he, you know, and I know the rule has changed if you raise your arms and all that stuff. I just think he's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you see it a lot. You see it in all kinds of, you know, you see it when
Bill.
He can get technicals for things other people don't. So, I don't know.
Do me a favor.
We'll see how it plays out.
Do me a favor. Wherever you are right now, just hold still, because you're cutting in and out just a little bit, and this is really good stuff from you. Whatever you do, just don't move. Don't move. All right, so let's get over to the movies, because Hummingbird Project, I want to see this. I got a screener to see it. I haven't had time to see it because Big Short, Wall Street, those are hard movies for people to sit through, I think. I liked Wall Street. Big Short, not as much. Is Hummingbird Project like those two in the same genre?
Not quite, and it's not as good. It's a good idea. There's this thing in banking and in the world of high finance called, I think it's called a multi-speed trading. And this is the billions of dollars ride on milliseconds. Like, a big thing in this movie is they're going to run this optic wire from Kansas to New York, and it has to be in 16 milliseconds. If it's 17, it's worthless, because anybody can do 17.
Mm.
And the whole thing, and that to me that's really interesting. The problem with the movie is it kind of does too many things, and it's got a really good cast, it becomes sort of melodramatic, and it jumps all over the place. You don't know if you're supposed to be sad, or if you're supposed to hate these people, or you're supposed to root for them. And I mean, if you like this stuff, and certainly if you have a screener, watch it. I mean, but I think it's going to be a tough sell. Alexander Skarsgård is great as this sort of genius who is the one guy trying to figure it out. Jesse Eisenberg is basically playing Mark Zuckerberg again, the way he did in The Social Network, which was really good, but I don't need to see it twice. So if I want to see it twice, actually, I'll just watch The Social Network again, because that's a great movie. this is good, but it's not great.
All right. The other movie that you have this week, so that's Hummingbird Project. It's only showing at Shea, from what I've seen at this point. The other movie that you have is Us. Tell me about Us.
Us is Jordan Peele's follow-up to Get Out. And Get Out, I thought, was a brilliant, just genius movie. One of my favorite I guess it was 2 years ago. He won an Oscar for writing the screenplay. This movie is – that movie dealt with race. This movie deals with class division. It's also – but it's like Get Out. It's a horror movie. And it's even scarier than Get Out. I mean, it plays off of home invasion movies and that sort of stuff, and that stuff is just really creepy, and he is really good at making it really scary. But it's not as good as Get Out, and that's okay. Not many movies are. It's still really good, and if you like this kind of thing, you really ought to go see it.
All right. So there's the two movies for the week. Before I get you out of here, when it comes to – let's bounce back over to the tournament. When it comes to the tournament – you're going to have all sorts of announcers. I don't know who's doing the ASU Buffalo game tomorrow night. This is the time of year where fan bases say, you have it in for our team, you hate us, and all that stuff. I'm going to hear so much about Duke and the ACC in North Carolina, I probably am going to puke on my shoes when I hear Jim Nance wax poetically along with Grant Hill. Both nice guys, but it's entirely a love fest with the ACC from my view when it gets to this time of year. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, you're right, but I don't mind it because I grew up in the ACC.
Ah, one of those guys.
Also, I'll say this. I would listen to anybody, as you know, I am the worst announcer in the history of sports. I would listen to me call a game if it meant I got to see Zion Williamson play in it.
Yeah. He's the face of college basketball. He has saved college basketball this year. In a year of scandal, in a year of coaches, assistant coaches being FBI, subpoena, fired, cheating, scandal, Zion Williamson has single-handedly saved college basketball this year, in my opinion.
I don't remember in a long time a player having this much impact. Maybe, I don't know, Carmelo Anthony when he was at Syracuse or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
it's usually big men. It's, you know, Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, Georgetown, Houston. You go all the way back. It's usually big guys. LeBron never played in college. You could go back and look at guys like Steph Curry was a nice story in college. Zion Williamson is must-see TV. It's either you love Zion and hate Duke, or you hate Zion and you hate Duke because you hate Duke. You know, he's one of those guys. It's very rare.
Well, I think even the people who hate Duke like him, and that's what's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I just – one person that keeps coming back that people – he's not the same kind of player, certainly not the same kind of body, but people talk about David Thompson.
Yeah, okay.
And and that kind of just freaky good athlete, like somebody of a type that you haven't really seen much of before. I mean, he has, what, a 48-inch vertical leap? That's like David Thompson. That's like Daryl Griffith. I mean, you know, I'm old. Those are the people that I think of in those terms. But dang, man, I love watching him.
Yeah. No, he's must-see TV, and it's even more reason why the Suns need to lose. But, you know.
Just to draw it in full circle, can you guess what you offered him his first scholarship?
David Thompson?
No, Zion Williamson.
Oh, Zion Williamson, I'm sorry. Who offered him his first scholarship? You're probably going to get me. It's not your guy from Wofford. Please don't tell me that.
Wofford College.
Get out. Shut up. Get out of here. I don't believe you for a minute.
He's from around there.
You're honking the horn. How old was he? Was he in the womb still, or come on?
No, he was from around there, and he got a lot better.
Yeah, got a lot better, I'm sure. Get out of here. Have fun with the tournament. See you. There's Good at the Movies. Yeah, I wanted to see Hummingbird Project. That's very disappointing that it's not that good. But I will find a way. We ran long in that segment. So next, Devin, let's just, let's just do Steve Smith. We'll do that next. Steve Smith and I, one-on-one. Steve Smith in the college Pac-12 Hall of Fame. But Steve Smith, really good on Josh Rosen. Really good on what the Cardinals should do, could do, might do with Kyler Murray. We will do that next. I'm Brad Sussmat. What does today mean to you, Steve Smith?
It's a really cool day. It's really awesome. I mean, I was up here probably about an hour or so ago, and I'm talking to Dan Cush and Meg and Ronnie Lott, and I'm having conversations with them, and it's really cool. So for me, it's more of just it's just really just cool.
Yeah.
It just and also too, it's you know, when you accept now it's what almost. 20, it was actually 10, 20 years ago, you accept an opportunity to go to an institution. For myself, you come out and you say, man, I just hope I get an opportunity to go to college and get afforded that opportunity to go to college. And then I go play in the NFL, but more than anything, I remember when I was a student athlete, mm-hmm. and every year you have to write a letter to the person who gave their hard-earned money, whether they saved their money or however they did it, and you write a letter telling them thank you. And 9 times out of 10, it's a complete stranger. Especially with me being a junior college transfer, I didn't get the opportunity to meet them. Mm. And so I write that letter, and now fast forward, every year I get a plaque with a guy's name, and it's in my workout room. And each year is a different name. Paris Warren, Shaky Smith, just a different guy. And I guess the difference is they know me, But more of it is I got an opportunity to do the exact same thing that someone did for me. Is a complete stranger, took their money, and they said, we shall invest it in someone else. And so for me, it was really cool. And without that person, I wouldn't be sitting here. And so that's what it means to me. It means more than just, you know, for some people it's Hall of Fame, inductee. But for me, someone gave me a chance. Yeah. And without that chance, I wouldn't be sitting right here.
Okay. Why are you here today, do you think? Let's just talk about the accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here today. Why is it when you look back, without Utah, where are you? Where's Utah? I mean, just...
If I'm being honest, transparent, without Utah, probably be in jail or dead. You know? So, you know, I text my oldest son who's in college right now, and because of Utah and being able to play in NFL and saving my money, my kids don't have to play sports. And so they get to go to college. And so they had a little picture, and I took a picture, and I text my son and said, not bad for a knucklehead from L.A. and he said, proud of you, Dad.
That's good.
Right? And more or less is just me being transparent and just kind of saying it. You know, call it how I see it.
No, that's how you've been on the air. Before I get you out of here.
Knucklehead?
Well, that was good. You got me. You got me. Before I get you out of here, what do you make out of the Arizona Cardinals? What do you make out of the number one overall pick? Josh Rosen may be traded. Everything going on in Arizona. Yeah. There's a lot.
There's a ton of stuff going on. I just came back from the combine. Heard a lot of conversations, a lot of whispers.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's good to be me.
You don't think Josh Rosen's going to be there?
I mean, look.
We're in Vegas if you're a betting man.
I don't bet.
Okay.
I play football. Undersized wide receiver going across the middle. I gambled enough. for me, really, I look at the Josh Rosen thing as understanding the complexity of football. And why is it complex? It's because when you bring in a new head coach, that head coach wants to go with his guy, the guy that he knows he's comfortable with, the guy that he is invested. You don't go to work with other men's stock. It just doesn't work. Not in football. Not in many businesses. That's why when a new CEO comes in, a new president, what do? They shake things up. They change. Because they want to go in there knowing that the men that they have understand their work ethic, their method, their methodology, their ideology. And also, they want to put people around them that they can trust. And not saying that Josh Rosen is untrustable, but when a new guy, he's not your guy. He didn't invest the time in looking at the film with you. He is looking at the film at other people. He is looking and evaluating. He says, I was brought in here to fix the issues that have lingered or was last year. I am new, so we will get all new problems and figure it out as we go. And I believe as offensive coordinator, offensive coach, a quarterback whisperer, he will always go with what he's comfortable with, and that's his guy. And that's just how football is. That's how it always is. That's how it will always be. And people get hired and fired based on that philosophy. And that's why I believe that maybe not this year, but I kind of know some things. But at some point, the coach, will go with his guy.
Number one pick in the draft, is it going to be Kyler Murray if you're sitting there with it?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that part, but I do believe that at some point they're going to get a quarterback. I also believe they at some point, because there's no spring chicken, I've seen it too, they're going to get another receiver to replace Larry Fitzgerald, since Larry Fitzgerald is getting up there long in the tooth. Still a remarkable player.
You could play there.
I could
play in that system.
To be honest,
yeah.
If it's drawn up the right way and a good system, smart players, anybody could play in that system.
Huh.
But that's the part. That's the challenging. Figuring out which players to get. That's the key, because you can get a guy that can be good in one system here, get to another system as playing an X in one system, playing a Z in another one, and you don't have the same performance, you know. And so that's always challenging. So I believe that that is going to be interesting. You know, you also got David Johnson. He didn't perform in a way that we used to. Why? We're not sure. He had a broken wrist, not a broken foot. So, you know, seeing those things. So it'll be interesting. But Arizona is one of those teams, has a new coach, that it could be intriguing of how long the transition it will take to get things back to where you want them.
Congratulations on this. I appreciate the insight on the Cardinals.
Yeah, no problem. I'll see you my bill later.